Are you having a hard time getting your children to settle down and go to sleep at night?
It might have something to do with what they're doing just before bedtime. We'll discuss this and other questions from viewers today on Real Family Talk. Time for Real Family Talk, your questions answered. And our friend Juliana Bayoni is here to help us read questions from viewers like you. Welcome, Juliana.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So, look, we're talking about technology today and its impact on families. And you have some questions for us, so go for it.
Yes. One family wrote in and said, "My entire family is addicted to their devices. Laptops, cell phones, tablets, gaming, you name it, we've got it. And we can't disconnect. Help!" This is something I definitely can say happens to me as well.
Wow. Yes. I think it happens to all of us. And we're all guilty. And so sometimes we accuse the children or the young adults of being connected to their phones. Mm-hmm. But I think we're all super connected to our devices.
Indeed. And in fact, one of the biggest issues on devices is that it's not only children, it's the adults. And the reality is, in families, it is the parents who set the tone of what happens in the family. So if we're trying to get our children to not be on their devices all the time or to have so much screen time, and this is happening younger and younger, at younger and younger ages, then parents are going to have to put something in place to be able to convey to their children much more than just by what they're saying, but also by what they're doing.
Yeah, and there are a lot of studies out right now that talk about how early we should introduce screen time to children. And do you know, some of the latest research is saying that children should not be introduced to screen time before age 2.
Wow.
And we're seeing parents today putting, you know, tablets or phones in front of their kids, or they have like baby tablets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we're all of us are taken up with this. So when a parent says, "How do I get my family to disconnect?" Yeah. Willie is saying, "Well, we have to be the ones that start. You know, we have to be the ones that are willing to begin to set a new tone in our homes."
And that tone needs to be based on our values. I mean, what is driving our family? What is the goal of our family, and what values are they based on? You know, our families, people of faith, if we're people of faith, then God should be the center of that faith. And how we use our time says so much about who we are as individuals. So time, parents, modeling. I like to think of, someone once said, well, there are three things, and I have it here. Crouch, someone called Andy Crouch, TechWise Family, he's saying three things should be driving what we're doing with our technology. He says three things: choosing character, shaping space, and structuring time. Again, it goes back to our faith. What is our character about? And if it's about character, not only the time that we're spending on the devices, but what is it that we're watching on these devices? Is it something that's building up our faith? Is it something that's building up our values? Is it something that's helping us to communicate better, to be better people? Or is it just trivia and nonsense and, you know, stuff that does not elevate? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about you, and I don't want to, like, put you in a category, but can you remember a time in your life when you didn't have a device or a computer?
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up in the age where you still had to connect the internet through the phone, and so it's like, get off the internet so I can call someone. So I definitely remember not having a device. It wasn't until college that I had a smartphone, you know, in high school when I had a Nokia cell phone, that it just, you know, I remember what life was like before I was always staring at a screen. And sometimes I feel it's very hard to set it aside and get back to that.
Yeah. And it kind of rules our life. So what you made an important point, right, where you say, I remember the time where we had to plug in, which meant, you know, everyone shared that one space.
One line.
Yeah. So even that was more collaborative. Yeah. Now everyone has their own device. And so we don't even have to share anymore. We don't even have to communicate. So one of the problems that we're also seeing in families is that there's increased depression. Mm-hmm. Because in spite of the fact that we are super connected to people through social media, through these devices, we're actually not having real relationships.
Well, we're super connected, but we're super disconnected. You know, and disconnected because we each are in our own track, our own silos. As you said, before we had to share, now we don't have to share. Everyone has their own, and because everyone has their own, everyone is in their own zone. And you don't even know what the members of your family are engaged in. Mm-hmm. If you're a parent, you don't know what your children are engaged in. God forbid you have early teens or teenagers. They are everywhere, and you have no idea. In fact, these days when parents are raising their children, it's not with the values of the parents. It's mm-hmm. mostly with the values that are out there in cyberspace.
Yeah. So in answering the viewer that asked the question, you know, what advice would we have? Someone has to take a stand. So whether it's the mom or the dad or if it's a single parent home, the adult in the relationship needs to say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And then we begin to set boundaries, just like we did when we didn't have these things, or like we do with other areas of our lives. So we can't allow the device to take over our lives. We have to control the device.
Absolutely.
We have to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. So one of the recommendations that we make to families is dinner time. Dinner time is very important. And we mm-hmm. see from scientific research how important it is to have family dinner at least 4 times a week. Families should sit down and have family dinner together. That is a good time to say to the family, you know what, here's a nice basket. Make it pretty. You know, everyone is going to put the phone in the basket. Everyone. Yeah. Everyone is going to, mom, dad, grandma, whoever is sitting at the table, guests. This is our beautiful phone basket.
It's our dinner basket.
It's our dinner basket.
You know, when we come to dinner, we use it. And we use it to get rid of distraction, because dinner is so important and so much is happening when we're interacting with our family, with our loved ones, that it's the only time we have to connect. Because when we're not connecting at dinner time, everyone is doing their own thing. So there must be a time, and we call it a Sabbath, a sanctified space where it's a device-free place. So that's a choice that each family needs to make. Yeah, and we need to be intentional about it. Yeah,
we have to make that time. So did we have something else? Did you have something else you wanted to say on that?
Well, what I'd like to say, in addition to what I've already said, is the fact that, again, parents need to model it. You can't just say it. You have to do it. And much more than just doing it. Children tend to disregard what parents are saying if, in fact, it sounds like parents are trying to be the heavies. Let's have a family meeting. Let's have a conversation. Let's have everyone have input as to how we can do this better for the entire family. If we each own the process, then we can do a lot better.
I like that. Yeah.
In a moment, we'll answer more of your questions about technology and the family. Stay with us.
On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering your questions about technology use and its impact on the family. Juliana, what's the next question?
So we had a viewer write into the website and say, "It seems my children are tired all the time. I send them to bed, but they have a hard time settling down and going to sleep. Then it's even harder to get them up in the morning for school or church. What can I do about this?"
Oh, my. This is definitely an age-old question.
Yes.
But probably it's intensified because of social media and devices and smartphones and iPads, iPhones, whatever else it is. And that's not to say that these are all bad things. It's just that, like with anything else, we're going to have to learn to put some boundaries in place. And we use that word a lot, boundaries, because we all need boundaries in our lives.
And they're important.
And yeah, there's like a stoplight, right? Mm-hmm. We need stoplights and stop signs. So for this parent, I would say there needs to be a set time for bed. I'm assuming, based on the question, that this is a young child, right? Because an adolescent really needs to, at this point, perhaps have been taught what is a healthy bedtime, and they will have homework or whatever, and they can put themselves to bed, right? So I'm going to assume... I'm going to assume, I know you want to say something, but I'm going to assume it's a small child, and so I'll approach it first from a small child perspective. Young children need to have set bedtimes. Okay, you know what that means? It means that parents of young children need to set this bedtime and stick to it.
Well, they need to be engaged.
For lack of a better word, to enforce it. And yeah. I think that's the problem that I see and I hear from many parents today, is that their children don't have a set bedtime. Mm. And along with that bedtime, there needs to be certain parameters, certain rules. You can't stay up, you know, maybe if you read before going to bed, you read a book, your Sabbath school lesson, but at 9 o'clock, lights out, mm-hmm. right?
And of course, you're talking about depending on the age of the child.
Yes, we're talking about young children.
Whatever
right
boundaries
now.
We're setting need to be age appropriate.
Yes.
You know, if you're in grade school, well, you know, they need to be a little bit more defined than if you are in middle school or in high school. You know, the older you are, the more you get to police yourself or to manage yourself or to set boundaries that you have agreed to as a family. So, yes, I think a lot of it has to do with the age of the child. And the thing about it is that parents have to be engaged. Mm-hmm. And parents, it's easier for parents to be permissive because they want to do their own thing. They're tired. They just want to go to a room and turn on their own TV or watch their own device or, you know, their iPad or whatever it is they're doing. I maintain that children will learn to go to bed based on the cues they get from their parents. And I want to be very clear on this matter, especially when children are middle school or younger. That's a great school. I still remember speaking to parents I remember this parent said to me once, you know, my child has a cell phone, and we had to get to the place where we had to take it away for them to go to bed because now he was getting little girlfriends who were calling, you know, and until late, you know. So if you're going to have someone calling your child when they already are in bed, you have to agree as a family how we're going to mediate this, how we're going to manage it, what are we going to do about it, and instead of just being strong and saying, this is what's going to happen, I'm the parent here, have a conversation with your children. Have an agreement. Come to terms with what's important and what's necessary and explain why. If you're going to go to school the following day and you're going to learn, you need to sleep. And if you need to sleep, you can't be on your technology. So I think these are the parameters that need to be spoken about as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We ready for another question?
Yes, we are.
All right.
So one of the other questions that we have, which I think ties in very well with this, is how can I help my child learn to discern what to watch and what not to watch? You know, because we've said that, you know, screen time especially maybe shouldn't be happening close to bed, but even more so certain things, if you're going to watch something, certain things you really should avoid. Yeah. So how can you help your child discern one or another of what to watch?
You know, I'm one. That word discern is interesting because I think when it comes to children, there's no discernment, you know. So I think who needs to be discerning is the parent. And it's about teaching values, and it's much more, what is the culture of the family? What are the values of the family? Not what we say the values are, what they really are. You know, people of faith, and we're not any of us perfect, we say we espouse certain values, but then when we live out our lives, we don't necessarily live them according to those values. So I think that beyond just saying to our children, you know, teaching them right from wrong and what's moral and what's immoral, and the Bible is clear. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are good, think on these things. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he, so is she. So the mind is just like the body. If we eat good food, healthy, nutritious food, then we're healthy and strong. If we eat fatty foods and foods that are not good for you, then that's what's going to happen to you. Your body's going to break down. So what is it that we're feeding our minds on? And I think that's important. But I also think that parents need to have some kind of control on the devices or some kind of agreement as to whether or not this child, depending on the age, will keep that device overnight in their room or surrender it to their parents until they're older.
Yeah. It's important also to help children begin to develop a framework or principles, a foundation of why they're not watching certain things, what type of things they want to watch. So just going back a little bit, you said that it ties in with the other question. Yeah, we should definitely try to reduce screen time before going to bed, because there are many studies that share that even the lights on our TV, you know, your TV has a green or red light, or even
blue,
your
blue
the blue light, right? Those things actually impact our ability to sleep and to fall asleep. So we want to make sure that we're not having screen time right before bed, and definitely not violent things. You know, so we shouldn't be watching really excitable or violent or, you know, just things that might create anxiety, because when we watch those types of things, our heart rate increases. And if your heart rate is increased, you're wide awake.
You're not going to bed.
You're not going to bed. And you know what that does? It makes you excited and you want to do something else. So your child will actually say, but Mom, I'm not sleepy. Well, they're not sleepy because now they're so hyped up, it's difficult to fall asleep.
You know, also, watching violent movies become addictive. So if that's what you're doing, you're going to want to be doing more of it. So helping your children to make good choices, choices that are healthy, so that their minds can be healthy.
So after a short break, we'll tackle more of your questions about technology and how it impacts families. Stay with us.
Juliana Bayoni is here to share your questions about technology and the family. Juliana, what's the next question?
Someone on social media wrote and said, my kids love to play on my cell phone and tablet. I use these devices frequently for work and to keep in contact with family and friends, but I worry about letting my children use them too much. How much screen time is okay?
Wow. That's a loaded question. You know, we are back to, depending on the age of the child, depending on what they're using it for. But I think that I'd like to take a look at what the research says. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Heart Association is recommending the following. Can we show that on the screen? Ages 0 to 18 months, it says, use screen media other than video chatting, discouraged. They're discouraging any media time for children between the ages of 0 and 18 months. If you look at ages 18 through 24 months, less than 30 minutes per day. Parents who want to introduce digital media should choose high-quality programming apps and use them together with children, because this is how toddlers learn best. In other words, you don't leave it alone to them. And then ages 2 through 5.
And can I just jump in there a second? Because there's a lot of new research out. And I know that the American Academy of Pediatrics is, they're giving the best scenario, yes, the best case scenario.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of research that says there should be no screen time before age 2. And I think we said that earlier. And one of the reasons why they're saying that is because of the wiring of the brain. Uh-huh. The child's brain is
just
being
not ready
formed
for it
and developed, and it's not ready for it. If they're using it as video chatting, you know, to speak with
grandma,
you know, as the parents are at work or something, then that's different because it's interactive.
You're FaceTiming with someone who's real.
As if you're having a conversation. But to just have, you know, them looking at a screen, even the best program. So I would say, you know, to age 2, I would rather err on the side of caution when it comes to that. And I know it's difficult for parents because it's also very competitive.
Indeed.
You know, I see parents saying, oh, my 2-year-old is reading their tablet.
Or they know how to maneuver. They know how to get to the apps and stuff like that.
Right. And to me, I'm thinking, you know, just give them a book. But anyway, I just wanted to put that in with the age 2. If we can keep as many children under age 2 as possible away from screen time, I think it will be beneficial for
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Let's look. It says some more. Ages 2 through 5 years, 1 hour per day. And then ages 8 through 18, 2 hours per day. That's amazing. I don't know who's going to do this, but those are the recommendations.
Yeah, and we should have probably age 18 to 65 or 90.
Yes, indeed.
2 hours a day.
Yes.
Right?
Because the truth is adults are, I mean, I'm talking about working adults, people who are out on their own, you know, who've gone to school, who are over 21 and older, are using a lot of screen time. What I do like is that some smartphones these days are telling you how much screen time you had that week, and so you can monitor yourself. But this stuff could be deadly. I think that new studies are coming out and saying that children who are certain ages who spend a lot of time with screen time, they don't do as well in school. You know, contrary to popular opinion, oh, well, you know, when they're on the screen, they're learning all these new things, and we have all these new apps and all this new math and stuff that they're learning. Children do better if they can just concentrate on what's printed.
Yeah, yes. And there's something else that we don't really stop to think about, and that is a child's brain doesn't yet have the capacity to really handle some of these things. So your child might be pressing things. They really might just be mimicking what you're doing. So they see something and they're pressing. It's actually better for them to do more hands-on kinesthetic things. That's going to help their brains develop. Or remember flashcards?
Yes.
You know, those are actually helpful things. So again, we're not knocking apps or screen time, but a lot of the screen things, because of how fast it's moving, we might actually be doing harm to the child's brain. So the mom or the dad is asking, you know, how much screen time, and we answer that, and how do we, you know, monitor that? Again, monitoring.
Well, not only that.
We have to monitor the time. And it's so easy for us to just hand our phones over to our children. Because we want to be nice, you know.
We're frustrated. I've seen many a mom pass a phone over to a child while at the grocery store because the child is crying. Yes. And they're like, I can't deal with this right now. Just entertain yourself.
Yes.
So it's an easy way out.
It's an easy way out.
I think we need to get to the place where we have technology-free zones and time. Mm. You know, take more walks with your children in nature. If it's dinner time, let's agree that we're not going to have technology, that we're going to put it away. Parents tend to answer phone calls when they're at the dinner table. I like to say that, hey, make it a holy time. You know, it's a sanctified time. If you're having dinner with your children, have dinner with your children. Make them the center of attention. I think that we send the wrong message to our children when we answer the cell phone, when we have a telephone call. We have voicemail. You know, leave a message for crying out loud, you know. Give the time to your family. We spend so little time in family that the more time we spend with family, the better. I think we have just enough time for one more there.
So one other question we have. My 10-year-old is asking for a cell phone. Should I let her have one?
All right. We're going to let you answer that real quickly.
My thought on this is, unfortunately, the state of the world today, people want to be able to have contact with their kids.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that they need a smartphone. And I really think that a smartphone is part of the issue where you can connect to the rest of the world, right? Right now, when you're 10, all you need to do is connect with mommy and daddy.
Okay,
that's all you need.
You're the expert. Yeah.
Okay,
and so my thing also with that is I totally agree with that. If you're going to give them a phone, then and it's just supposedly to communicate with mom and dad, something's happening, then that's okay. But also, if a child is in school, what happened to going to the office and making a phone call? Like, I mean, really, if your child is in school, why do I need to communicate with them, you know, if my kid is there? And I've spoken with some teachers who say that there are parents, and we call it helicopter parenting, yeah, who call their kids all day long.
Yes.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. So if possible, is it possible if you need to reach your child to just have them go to the office and make a phone call or use the teacher's phone or something like that?
That's right.
So I agree that if a parent needs to buy their child a phone, they should get them a dumb phone, not a smartphone. And if they're able to withstand the peer pressure of getting them a greater phone, then by all means do it. But if not, then maybe just use the school phone for their child if they're trying to communicate. Remember, technology is a good thing, and it's here to stay. How and when we use it, it can be the best determinant of its impact on our lives. Boundaries and consistency are tools we can use to find that elusive balance.
Thank you for your questions and for watching Real Family Talk today. We'll see you next time.